Your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 11. Matthew chapter number 11. All right, Matthew chapter number 11. And if you would stand, please, for the reading of God's word. Matthew chapter number 11. We'll start reading at the end of the chapter here, verse number 28. Is where I'll start tonight. Verse number 28. The Bible says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest under your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again for this night, God. We thank you for these folks being here tonight. God, we know that each individual is special to you, Lord. They're important to you. They matter, Lord. The decisions they make matter, Lord. And Lord, each of them has a life that can count for you. And God, that's really what we want. That's really what we want them to attain to, Lord. As Paul says, Lord, that they would walk worthy. God, after all the things you've done for us, Lord, we pray that our church would walk worthy, Lord, of all the things you've done for us, Lord, of equal weight, of equal value, Lord, for all the things you've done for us. We pray that you would bless the message tonight, God. I need your help, God. I pray that you would please get this across to these folks in the way that you want it to be, Lord. I pray you would get me out of the way, and God, that people would see you tonight. I pray you'd forgive me my sins and fill me with your spirit. Focus me on the scripture, Lord. God, I do want to be a blessing. I don't take this lightly, Lord. I don't take this frivolously. God, this is important to me. I take it seriously, and I pray that, God, you would please help your word to have free course tonight, God, that it would there would be no hindrance, no roadblocks, Lord, in my life or in the people's lives, Lord, as they receive it. And Lord, we pray that most of all, whatever we hear tonight, God, that you would help us to obey it, and God, that you would be honored and glorified. God, I want you to be lifted up in everything that we do tonight. And Lord, I pray you'd please help me to say what you want to be said tonight. We thank you, Lord, for all that you do. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you once again for standing. 2,000 years ago, when Jesus came to earth, he came to people that needed him. Whether they acknowledged that need or not, all throughout the Gospels, you hear Jesus making statements like he does in Matthew chapter 9, where he says, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." In essence, he's saying people need to realize their need of me before they'll ever want the help that Jesus can give. Yet here in this passage here, I love this so much because he gives a very clear, unmistakable, open invitation to anyone that will come. It's open to anyone. I call this the greatest invitation ever extended. And I like it in verse number 28. Jesus makes this statement, "Come unto me." That's a comforting statement. If you've ever been through something that's hard, if you've ever been through something that you can't find your own way out of and you can't make it out on your own devices, I love when Jesus says, "Come unto me. Come unto me." That's the greatest invitation ever extended. I'm so glad nowadays that Jesus still meets needs. I'm glad he meets needs today. I'm glad he answers prayers and he solves problems and he calms the storm. And I'm glad he can still give us direction in our life and he can still use us in 2014. Listen, I know things get difficult sometimes. I know things get disturbing and they get discouraging. We think, man, is it worth it anymore? But I'm glad he still meets needs. I'm glad about that. But it's up to us to realize every day that we do need him. Listen, I don't care how long you've been in church. I don't care how many ministries you've been a part of. I don't care how many people your lives have touched. You need Jesus every day, and so do I. But I think sometimes we get to the point where we think we've arrived and we've achieved a lot, and now we can just kind of set it at cruise control and everything will be fine and good. My friend, you're sadly mistaken tonight, because every day you need him. I need him. Listen, anything good that comes out of Tom, it's not me, it's Jesus. Listen, I can be filled with the flesh just like anybody else, Brother Chad, and I can do a lot of things that I'd be ashamed of. I need Jesus to fill me, to control me, to take care of me, and to use me in the way that he wants me to be. That's right. Every single day, it's up to us to acknowledge that need and to realize that, Lord, I haven't arrived and I haven't achieved everything you want me to. It caught my attention a few weeks ago because I've heard Brother Kenny preached about Isaiah chapter 6 and Isaiah's vision of the Lord there in that chapter. In that statement, Brother Chad, where Isaiah says in response to seeing the Lord, he said, "I'm undone." And you think about that. And to be honest, I never really understood what that meant. But when he said, "I'm undone," looked it up, checked some things out about it. Basically what he's saying is, "I'm unfastened." In essence, I haven't arrived. In essence, I got a lot of things in my life that I need to get together. And you think about a prophet, Isaiah, who's probably in his day and age one of the only people standing for God in a difficult situation, in a nation that's turned their back on God. And he's out there preaching the word of God, telling people to repent and to get back and serve God. But yet he says, I'm undone. I'm undone. I'm messed up. Folks, I think a lot of times we don't realize that about ourselves. The Bible says all the ways of a man are right in his own eyes. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. If you check yourself out, you're always going to pass. But we need to look at him. Listen, it's not about what I think of me. It's about what he thinks of me. It's not about what you think of yourself. It's about what he thinks of you. And that's where we need to check ourselves each and every day. But I'm glad whatever our condition is tonight, whatever our state is, whatever struggle that may be apparent or may be present in our lives, listen, I'm glad that I can hearken to you this invitation tonight, this greatest invitation that's ever extended. It's very clear. It's very unmistakable. It's open to everybody in this room, everybody in here tonight. Jesus is speaking to you, and he leaves this invitation with you. Come unto me. Come unto me. What's your problem tonight? What's your struggle tonight? What's your worry tonight? What's your hardship tonight? He says, come unto me, and I can take care of it. I want to show you a couple things about this message tonight. Come unto me. I want you to see, first of all, the call. The call, verse number 28. The first three words, as we've alluded to many times so far, but he says, come unto me, the call. I like this because, as I've mentioned, this is very broad. This is opened up to everybody. The scope is immense here. This is a universal call. Listen, I don't believe anybody's held out of this call here. He says, come unto me. Listen, if you're in here tonight, you don't know Jesus as your Savior. You're only going to find salvation in one person and one person only, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he extends his invitation to you tonight saying, come unto me. If you're a Christian but you're struggling and you're down and out and you know you haven't served the Lord like you should have in the recent time span, and you've been getting off track and you've been cutting a fool and doing your kind of thing and out of the will of God, Jesus extends his call to you tonight saying, come unto me. He can fix whatever's going wrong in your life. Listen, I think sometimes we think, oh, I'm just weak in this area, or this is just a natural problem or a natural hardship that I have in my life, therefore I'll never beat it. Wrong. Wrong. My Bible says I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. My Bible says greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. It may be a difficulty for you, and I believe we all have different things that are maybe harder for us than it is for other people. But you know what? God can still help you with it. And you don't have to, listen, I was telling my guys Sunday, you don't get a doctor's note or an excuse to the Lord and say, oh, that's okay now. Oh, you've had a bad temper for years. Well, that's fine. You get a pass. No, you don't. No, hello? No, you don't. No, oh, you've been carnal for years. Oh, that's fine. Yeah, we're used to it now. We may be used to it, but he's not. Yeah. Hello? That's right. You haven't led anybody to the Lord for a while. Oh, that's fine. Yeah, that's not just really your thing. Seriously? Seriously? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? Amen. Go ye therefore teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you. Listen, that's to all of us. Amen. That's not just to the leaders, not to the pastors or to the missionaries. That's to every single one of us. Right. Man, that did my heart good that Brother Jim shared the gospel with one of his coworkers last week. He told me, I believe he said that he had worked with that person for years and years and years and years, and really never mentioned much to him about church, but the Lord pricked his heart about it. How about that? How about that? Listen, sometimes we just get in such a routine that we never look around at the people around us. Jesus said, look up, look under the fields, for they're white already to harvest. He's saying, look around. My soul, the call. He says, come unto me. It's a universal call to everyone in this room. Listen, you may be a Christian. You may be serving the Lord faithfully. That's great. But you know what? You're going to need some sustaining. You're going to need some strength. There's going to be some hard times, some difficulties, some valleys that come in your life. Where do you go? Do you go to the pastor? Do you go to some leader? Do you go to try to show off in the church and just tough your way through it? You know what you need to do? You need to come unto him. Listen, folks, I've said this, I believe, at youth conference time, but I think sometimes we just categorize people as, you know, Brother Bob, well, that's just what he does, you know. And I don't mean that way. But all right. And pastor, yeah, they're just, I mean, well, obviously he's the pastor. It's just natural for him. It's not natural for anybody. That was talked about very well on Sunday night. Listen, it's not natural for anybody. We all wake up every day and we don't feel like doing it. We don't feel like doing it. You know, listen, you know what keeps that man going over there? You know what keeps our pastor going over there? They go to God and get the help they need. That's the difference. That's the difference between someone that quits and someone that continues on. That's the difference between someone that falls off track or quits church and gets bitter at God and someone that stays in it year after year after year, and they've reached people and they go out and people may break their heart, but they stay with it. That's the difference. Listen, I want to be faithful. I want our church to be a faithful group of people, and we have many that are. Well, let's continue on with that. It's a universal call, but I like not only that's a universal call here, it's the ultimate challenge. I like when Jesus says, issues this call, when he says, come unto me, because he's saying this is the ultimate challenge. I like this. He doesn't leave any area out. He says, what's your burden? What's your problem? What's your struggle? What's your hardship? What's the weight that's pulling you down? What's your need tonight? Listen, he doesn't leave anything out. What's your problem tonight? What's your deal tonight? What's your hardship tonight? You may think, listen, Tom, I can't serve God because of this, or I can't do right because of this, or if you only knew my situation or my family or my home life, you would understand why I can't really. It doesn't count here. It doesn't count here. Because whatever your trouble may be, Jesus said, that doesn't matter. Come unto me. Bring it to me. It's a universal call. It's the ultimate challenge. And I like he exudes the ultimate confidence here. Because he says, listen, again, if whatever the need may be, whatever the problem may be, whatever the struggle may be in your life, I like Jesus doesn't give any shakiness here. There's no anxiety. There's no squeamishness in what he says. He says, because I can handle it. Amen. I'm glad about that. Yeah. Listen, folks, this is what will keep you going in the hard times. This is what will keep you going when people break your heart and they betray you and they turn their back on you. This is what will keep you going. I want it to keep me going. Listen, Jesus says, come unto me. Come unto me. Listen, sometimes when we surrender to God and we do what we know we should do, we think, okay, all right, God, I did it. And we think everything's going to be a bed of roses from there on. Soon you find out that's not the case. That's not the case. It doesn't work like that. Yea, all they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult. But you know what you need? You need to go to him. He's your everlasting power source. He's the one that can keep you charged up. Jesus said, abide in me and I in you as the branch cannot bring forth fruit of itself. He's saying, abide in me. He's saying that's what will produce fruit in your life. Without me, you can do nothing. A lot of times we try to do the Christian life on our own. And we wonder why we keep running into walls. That's the reason. That's the reason. Listen, what's your problem tonight? What's your hardship? What's your struggle? Hey, let me just be real honest with you. What's your excuse? What's your excuse? Well, you see, if this would just clear up, then it's never going to clear up. That may clear up, but another problem will happen. That's just how life is. Life is full of problems. And the church said, amen, right? Life is full of problems. It is. You think, oh, man, good. Now that's out of the way. I got it. I got a clear path now, and then something else pops up. Oh, okay. Well, as soon as that's gone, then another thing pops up. That's life. That's life. And we may not like that fact, but that is the fact. I like Jesus. He gives the utmost confidence here. He's saying, listen, I'm not worried about saying this. I'm not concerned that maybe there's some corner or some area that I haven't touched on here, and maybe I can't deal with everyone's problem, and maybe I can't answer every need. Jesus just leaves it out there, broad and open to everyone, saying, come unto me. Come unto me, because I can handle it. Jesus says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Listen, God cares for you. You realize every day that the Bible says in Psalm chapter 40, he thinks about you? That astounds me. That blows me away because I'm nothing. I'm nothing, but God takes time every day to think about me. And you think about way back in time, some 2,000 years ago when he was on a cross and he was going through such excruciating pain and such agonizing torment that no man has ever endured before. He took time to think about me and to think about you. That's what should get you living for God. That's what should keep you going if you're getting discouraged and thinking about throwing in the towel. That's what should keep you going. Saying, Tom, you're scaring me tonight. Forget about all that. What about the word of God? What about what God's pressing your heart to do? How long are we going to put it off anymore? Use this chance. Listen, if Jesus says, come unto me, I'm coming. How about you? How about you? Listen, use this chance. Do it. Bring it to him. Don't let this opportunity pass by. You can't afford to let it go. Like that song says, while on others thou art calling, God, do not pass me by. I need help. The call. I want you to see, secondly, no, not just the call. I want you to see, secondly, the condition. Jesus, who exactly are you talking about? He says, all right, I'll tell you that. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. That's the condition. All those that labor and are heavy laden. What does that mean? When it says they labor, it says they're weary. They're tired. They can't make it anymore. They've worked. They've labored. They've exhausted themselves. They've expended all their energy. They've exasperated themselves. They're at the end of the rope. They're weary. You ever get weary? I was preaching this to the young people a couple weeks ago. And to be honest with you, it was a little hard to preach to them, Brother Chad, because some of this stuff I didn't feel like they could relate, because they think they got it all good, made in the shade, drinking pink lemonade. You know, it's all good for them. And when you're, listen, and when you're 15, you think everything's all good. You think you know it all. Sorry for the 15-year-olds in the house. All right? When a couple more years click off your age, you realize you don't. That's right. Life gets a lot more complicated the older you get. There's a lot more things that come and you think, man, I can't figure this out on my own. I can't run to mom or dad anymore. I got to handle this myself now. Life gets tough. And these people are weary. They're at the end of their rope. They've expended all their energy. They've tried to work hard, but nothing's getting accomplished for them. That may be you tonight. Listen. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And let me be real honest with you right now. If you're trying to build a successful life without the Lord, it's vain. It's vain. It's a waste of time. Unless Jesus is the cornerstone, unless you're building it on the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to fall apart when the storm comes. That's Bible. That's Bible. You may not like me, but that's Bible. The condition. Listen, they're weary. But not only are they weary, they're weighed down. They're weighed down. All ye that labor, Jesus says, all of you, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Heavy laden has the idea of weighed down, burden. They've been beat down by this world. They're weighed down. They're carrying a heavy load. They're trying to lift it. They're trying to make it through. They've been through some hardships, but they're hurt and they're carrying the baggage of that. They're discouraged. They're wounded. And they can't continue on anymore. Listen, again, as I said, some of you know what I'm talking about. You ever had a time when you're weary, when you're weighed down? Listen, when you go to bed, but it's still there, your heart's still stirring around, your mind's still working, you can't turn it off, you can't rest, you can't relax. It's there, it's there, it's there, and you're trying to solve this problem. That's who he's talking about tonight. Listen, I know there's some folks in this room that you're really trying to live for the Lord, and you're really trying to put him first, and I'm proud of you, and you keep it up, but sometimes that encounters some difficulties. You're trying to work on somebody. You're trying to disciple somebody, but the person's a knucklehead, and they keep turning off the path, and they keep doing dumb things, and you think, come on, is this person ever going to get it? Listen, you don't do it for that person. You do it for him. And if they get it or they don't get it, you do it for God, and it's not in vain. Listen, the condition, listen, you may be weary, you may be worn down and weighed down. Listen, your Sunday school class, listen, it's summertime. Brother Bill knows summertime. Listen, you're out there, you're working hard, and people, man, the beach is populated, but church is empty. The picnic ground is populated, church, nobody. And you work, and you call, and you visit, and you do it. Come on, you need to be at church. Oh, I'll be there sooner or later. Listen, you need to put God first. I don't care what time of year it is. But sometimes we get weighed down by that. We think, is it worth it anymore? Listen, you just keep coming to Jesus, getting the strength that you need. Hey, bus worker, you want to continue on? Or you want to get bitter? You know what you need to do? Come to him. Jesus said, what's your need? What's your problem? Come to me. I can handle it. I can take care of it. We take our problems everywhere else except him most of the time. And we wonder why we don't get any solution to it. Put your life in his hands. Put your life in his hands. Trust him and surrender to him. Listen, as I already quoted, the Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Casting all your care upon him. You know what the image is? Throw it on him. It's used in the book of Luke as the donkey that Jesus was going to ride in Jerusalem on, that they cast their garments on that donkey so that Jesus could sit on it. It's the same word as used in 1 Peter 5:7 when it says, casting all your care upon him. Throw it on him. Hey, what's your thing that's burdening you down, weighing you down today? Throw it on him. Because you know what? You can't handle it, but he can. He's got some big shoulders. He can take it. He's strong. He can carry it on. Bible also says, get this, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 says this, be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. If you don't understand what that means, he says basically, don't be worried about anything. Be anxious for nothing. But yeah, that's hard. I'm like, I read that and I'm like, God, have you seen the world lately? You know? Have you seen my life lately? And you tell me, don't worry about anything? Are you crazy? What's going on here? Don't act like that's blasphemy. You thought it too, all right? I'll call you out. It's fine, all right? Listen, you look around at your life. You look around at what's going on, and you think, how in the world could he say that? Next part of the verse. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God. Get this. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know what the peace that passes all understanding is? The circumstances of your life don't make sense with a smile on your face. That's what it means. It doesn't make sense. You think, Tut, how can that person be going through that and still serving God with a smile on their face and rejoicing and reaching other people? That just doesn't add up. I tell you what that is. That's the peace of God which passes all understanding. You may not understand it, but it's God working through that person. Listen, you don't have to be worried about anything, even though that's difficult, I'll confess. How do you do it? By giving everything to him, handing it over to him. But you got to realize your need, as I've already mentioned. They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Like we preached about the prodigal son, he came to himself. Listen, as long as you think you can handle your problem, Jesus will let you. It's when you realize that you can't anymore and you hand it to him, he says, all right, I'll take over. I'll take over now. A lot of us think, again, that's what the prodigal did. He had his parties. He had his fun. He had all his drinking and girls and all this. And then it all ran out. But then what did he do? He joined himself to a citizen of that country. He's still running from God. You know what he's saying? I can still fix this. I don't need to go to my dad. I don't need to run home crying to daddy. Dad, I failed. No. I don't need to do all that. I'm a man. I know what I'm doing here. I can figure this out. You know where he ended up? Trying to eat the pig's food. Yep. Folks, don't get that far. Don't get that far. Submit your life to God. Hand it over to him and say, God, you take my life. You do whatever you want with it, Lord, and I'll follow along and I'll do what you say. That's how life is going to work for you. No other way. No other way. The call, the condition. I want you to see number three, the comfort. The comfort. Verse number 28 again, he says, come unto me. Whatever your problem is, whatever your struggle is, whatever hardship you're facing, come unto me. Who exactly? The condition, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Last part of the verse. I like this. And I will give you rest. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. Some of y'all are like, yeah, can you hurry up so we can rest at home? Yeah, I will. All right. I'll give you that rest later, but not yet. All right. Well, not like that, Brother Bob. All right. That's a different thing. All right. He says, I will give you rest. I will give you that comfort. I like when he says, I will give it to you. That's a personal promise. Listen, a lot of people are trusting their lives to this person, that person, this trend, this style, this opinion, this acceptance from people. You know who Jesus is? This is a personal guarantee. I will give it to you. I will give you rest. And he says, I'll provide it for you. I will give it to you. Listen, he knows what you need tonight. And I got news for you. He's got what you need, and he has plenty of it to fill your need. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. He can supply your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. He's got what you need. You just got to come to him. He can provide it for you. And then he can give you that peace, that rest in your soul, that peace in the midst of the storm, that tranquility in the midst of difficulty and turbulence. As I mentioned already, that peace that passes all understanding. Listen, his grace is sufficient. You know what it means? It's enough for whatever you're facing. It'll take care of the job. It'll do it. It'll accomplish what you need in your life. And again, I feel like I'm a broken record up here. I keep going over the same things, but a lot of times we fail because we think, no, I can do this. If you haven't hit it yet, you will sooner or later. You're going to hit into something that you can't get yourself by, that you can't climb over, that you can't go around, and you'll come to the end of yourself and you think, what am I supposed to do here? Come on to him. That's what you got to do. The comfort. I'm glad that he promises comfort to his children. I'm glad that whatever state that I'm in and whatever difficulty I'm going through, he says, bring it to me, Tom, and I will give you rest. That's a good thing. That's a blessing that Jesus says that to us. Last thing, number four. We talked about the call, the condition, the comfort. I want you to see number four is this, the carrying. Verse number 29 says this, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The carrying, okay? He says, "Take my yoke upon you." Some of y'all are like, "What is a yoke, man? Are we talking about eggs here? What are we talking about, you know? What's going on? How did he just switch from come unto me and then he's fixing breakfast for it? What is going on here, you know?" He's not talking about that kind of yoke. See, in the Bible times, a yoke was basically a device that they would use to attach two plowing animals together. Basically, it would be made up of a cross beam, which would usually be wooden, that would stretch out a few feet. And then on each side, you would have basically a loop for the animal's head to stick through that they could attach it, okay? And usually what it would be for would be for oxen as they would plow the fields. Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you," okay? He's saying basically partner up with me. Get connected up with me. Get yoked up with me. Usually what they would do back in those days, I've studied out and I've researched, is that they would take an ox that's more experienced, that's been through it, that's been around the block a couple of times, that's been through the field a couple of times, okay? And he's done the work and he's proven himself. They would take an experienced ox that they could trust, and then they would yoke them up, connect them to an ox that was young, that was inexperienced, a rookie, if you will, okay? They would hook those two up. And the reason that they would do that is so that when that younger ox would get tired and would get faint and wouldn't know what to do, it could follow in step with the older one, with the more experienced one. When that younger one felt like it couldn't continue on anymore, or it wanted to get off track, or it wanted to take a step in the wrong direction, that older one would, in essence, say, "No, follow my lead. Follow my step here." You know what Jesus is saying? He's saying, "Take my yoke upon you." You're saying, "Who are we hooking up with? The pastor? Who are we hooking up with? Someone in the church?" Jesus Christ himself. Amen. You know what I think he's saying? He said, "Partner in my service. You work with me. You partner with me. You get involved with me. You get participating in my work. You work with me," is what he's saying. Hey, folks, are you in the yoke tonight? Have you partnered up with him? Are you busy involving yourself in the service of the Lord tonight? I'm not talking about what you're going to do or what you plan on doing. What are you doing now? What are you doing now for the Lord? He's saying, "Get involved in my work. Participate with me. Work with me." And you know, I love these verses here because he says this, "Take my yoke upon you," and the next part, "and learn of me." Learn of me. You know what this is talking about? This picture is just amazing. I hope I can get it across to you. As these two animals would be joined together and connected, attached together, as I mentioned to you, that younger one, there would come times when they would stumble, when they would get weak, when they would lose strength. And you know, they would learn from the older one. They would stay in step with the older one. The older one would, in essence, say, "Follow me. Follow my step." You know what happens? When you partner up with the Lord and when you get in his service with him and you get your head in the yoke with him, you're going to get to experience Christ in action. Because there's going to be some times when the pressure begins to mount. There are going to be some times that you go through some things and you feel like you can't make it anymore. And you're getting off track and you don't know which way is up and you don't know which way you should go. And you're asking God, "God, what direction should I go in? You know what I need to do? I just need to follow my partner." I said, "I just need to follow my partner tonight." Listen, and I need to get attached up with him and yoked up to him and stay faithful through the storms of life. Listen, you know what we need to do? We need to get in Woodlawn. We need to get committed to the Lord. And stay faithful. Stay faithful. Listen, what are you doing for the Lord now? Let me ask you another question. Are you going to be faithful to it? "Oh, yeah, Tom, yeah, I got a lot of talent. Nothing to do with it." I've told a lot of people lately in conversations, you know, you need no talent to be faithful. You don't need to be able to preach or sing or have a great personality and natural charisma bleeding off of you and oozing out of you. You don't need to be a natural born leader. You don't need any of that. You know what you need to be faithful? Be consistent. Be there time and time and time again. Be someone that people can count on, that the Lord can count on. You know what the Bible says about an unfaithful man? When you have confidence in him, It's like a broken tooth, try that on for size, and a foot out of joint. Just when you need it, can't have it, can't use it. I don't want to try it, okay? But have you ever tried to eat with a broken tooth? Is it fun? There you go. Can I get a witness in here tonight? You know, all right? It's not fun. You can't run very well with a foot out of joint. Can't walk very well with a foot out of joint. You know what? Listen. And sometimes we have people that you can't count on. And right when you need them, they fall apart. And I'm not trying to beat anybody over the head. I'm just talking about you individually. Don't try to, who is he talking about? Don't worry about that. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. Amen. Are you going to be faithful? Because you know what? You're that close to being unfaithful. Yeah. And so am I. Yeah. Yeah. One decision, one Sunday, Tut, that we feel to, all right, let's just slack off the guys this week. I mean, they don't care anyway, most of them. They don't listen, most of them anyway. I can slack off. You're that much closer to quitting. I don't want to do that. I want to stay in it again. Why do we do it? For them? No, for him. We do it for him. Listen, he's my partner. He's my partner. Listen, partner in his service. And he says, from time to time, the pressure will begin to mount. But you know what happens when the pressure begins to mount? He says, you'll learn of me. For I am meek, I'm lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You know what Jesus is saying? You ride with me. I'll take care of you. When the pressure begins to mount, I'll pull you through. I'll pull you through. The Bible says he's a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Listen, you know what we need a lot more of in this church? We need some people that have been through some battles with the Lord and haven't quit in the middle of them, to where next time you face the battle, you're going to say, you know what, he brought me out of the last one. He'll bring me out of this one too. And you know what, young people, we try to preach to you and implore to you how important it is to love God and serve God. But you know what, until you do it yourself, all it is just my opinion. You don't really know for sure. But if you ride with Jesus and you partner up with him and he brings you through some battles that you couldn't have made it through on your own, you'll find out, you know what, this thing is real. Amen. And I'm going to be committed to it. That's what I had to do. And that's what everybody has to do. Amen. There's going to be some times where you feel like, man, I can't take another step. But you know what? I just follow my partner. He leads me through. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You ever had a time in your life when you didn't know which direction to turn? You didn't know what decision to make? Whew. Seems like I have a boatload of those. James 1:5, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. They give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not. If any man lack wisdom, that's me sometimes, okay? But you go to him and you trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to the own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him. Check with him. And he shall direct thy paths. That's what it's all about. I'm glad when I go to God and I try to check with him and I try to acknowledge him in every area. Listen, if you can't stay awake normally, these pops will try to help you, okay? I don't know. We got Rice Krispie Treats in here somewhere. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. All right? Well, listen, I'm glad that I've had some situations that I've had to go through. And listen, at some points in my life I could, but in recently I couldn't run to my mom, run to my dad. I had to deal with this myself. And when it says, he shall direct thy path, listen, you ask, you seek, you'll find. Amen. You keep on asking, you keep on seeking, you keep on knocking. Listen, he'll show you what you need. Right. You shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. You know, the problem is, we don't search for him with all our heart. We care more about this. We care more about that. How many Facebook friends do I have? How many followers do I have? How many people unfriended me today? Who cares? Who cares? What's your status with God? How about that? Booyah, you know? Thumbs up on that one. Okay. Yeah. Like that on your way out, okay? I'm going to quit with the jokes right now, all right? Get back to the preaching. Seriously, listen, we go to all that stuff, and we still don't have the answer we need. Go to him. He says, come unto me. What else do you need? This is your personal invitation. He'll pull you through. He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. It doesn't mean everything's going to go well, right? Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Next verse, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Listen, you're going to have a good time serving the Lord, but you're going to have some difficulties arise. But you know what the great thing about it? You stay in them. The problem is people quit halfway through. The problem is people show up to church. Maybe this will change my microphone problem. Listen, problem is people show up to church and the preacher's getting hot and heavy and you get convicted. And then you know what you do? You get mad because you feel bad about it. And you say, I'm not going back to that church. If you would stay in the church long enough and react properly to the conviction, that's when he would change your life. But we quit halfway through. How dare that preacher talk about my sin? He should talk about someone else's. Have you seen that guy lately? Forget about that guy lately. How about your life lately? That's right, folks. He'll pull you through. He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Listen, he says, he shall not be utterly cast down. The Lord will uphold him with his hand. And all throughout the Bible, it talks about how God will keep us, will uphold us by the right hand of his righteousness and keep us going. Job said this. You think about the life of Job. I almost preached on Job. But you think about the life of Job, all that he went through, everything stripped away from him in just a matter of moments. And then you have the person that's supposed to be closest to him, that he loves the most, his wife, say, what is wrong with you? Do you still retain your integrity? Translation to 2014. Are you still faithful to that church? Are you still serving God? Are you still on that bus route? What church has bus routes anymore? That went out in the 80s. Yeah, and most of their soul winning did too. Listen, let's reach people. Do you still retain your integrity? Curse God and die. Just quit. Get it over with. Can you imagine that? From the closest person in your life. Wow. I like Job's response. You speak as one of the foolish women speak. Some of your husbands like, I wish I could say that. They're all like, no, honey. I would never say that. Yeah, whatever. Okay. But you know what? Anybody that says curse God and die, that's foolish. That's foolish. I don't care if you're close connection or not. I don't care if we tight or not. That's foolish. He's saying, what shall we receive good at the hand of God and shall we not receive evil? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. He conquered the challenge. You think about Job, but he said in chapter 10, verse 12, he's saying, God, your visitation hath preserved my spirit. You know what that is? That's staying faithful. That's staying in it. That's staying in it even when there are no results. And then God will visit you. I'm not talking about some mystical experience. I'm talking about God shows up in your life and he does something for you specifically. And you know it wasn't a coincidence. You know it wasn't an accident. Job said, that visitation hath preserved my spirit. That's what kept me going. Amen. That's what you need. But you know what? The unfaithful don't get that. Right. When you quit on God, you give him no chance to show up in your life. When I can't make it anymore, my partner carries me through. Folks, have you taken his yoke upon you? Have you learned about him? Again, Todd, if we could get this to some of the people we deal with, if they could see God in action for themselves in their own life, we wouldn't have to preach our guts out every week. We wouldn't have to beg them, and we wouldn't have to give them, Brother Chad, I've heard you say this before, 85 reasons to prove the existence of God. If you've seen him show up in your life, you don't need all that.
Amen.
You don't need all that. You've seen him real for yourself. You've tasted and seen it for yourself. That's what it's all about. And you know what, folks? There's been times in my life where I couldn't make it, but my partner did carry me through. My life verse, Psalm 116, verse 8. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Not my life verse, but another good verse. Psalm 86, verse 13. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. You know what? God's mercy has touched everybody in this room.
Amen.
Prove that to me. You're not in hell today. Amen. Case closed. Caso cerrado for some of you Hispanics, okay? You're welcome. It's all good. Bilingual church, okay? Hallelujah, right? Where's Jeffrey? Where's Jeffrey when I need him, you know? He's carried me through. Listen, and he'll carry you through. But you know what? It's never going to happen until you come unto him. What's your need? What's your struggle? He doesn't leave any area out. He doesn't leave any area untouched of your life. He says, whatever it is, doesn't matter. Well, it's been going on for a long time. So what? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then you take my yoke upon you. You partner up with me in service. Hey, what are you doing for the Lord? If we were to pause your life and say, what right now are you doing for the Lord? This week, what have you done? Would you be up there, You know what? That question is going to be asked to you one day.
Amen.
And it's not going to be in front of the church.
Right.
It's going to be before Jesus Christ himself.
Amen.
It's called the judgment seat of Christ.
Amen.
We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done. What are you doing? What are you doing? Listen, that's what it's all about.
Amen.
But again, as I said, it'll never happen until you come unto him. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, thank you again for this night. God, thank you for your word. God, thank you for the encouragement that we can come to you no matter our struggle, no matter our hardship, no matter our difficulty, Lord. And God, you promise that you'll comfort us and that you'll take care of whatever the need may be. God, I pray you would bless your church tonight. These folks, Lord, we love them. We thank you for them. Many are very faithful. But, oh God, we pray that, God, you would just stir them up even more, light them on fire, God, for your cause. And God, that they would do even more for you. God, you said that we should be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, doing more and more and more. God, help us to be about that. Help us to be a church that tries to do more and more. God, our pastor wants to do more, but often we don't have enough people that will follow him. God, we pray that you would please help us tonight. Speak to our hearts. Work in us and make a difference, Lord, as was prayed earlier. Lord, help us to be different when we leave here tonight. And Lord, we pray you would bless our quick invitation. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If you stand to your feet as the piano begins to play, God spoke to your heart. Why don't you come do business with him tonight? Don't play games. Don't play games. Make it serious. Make it for real.